When I was a young adult, I drove a little red Chevy Sprint. Okay, it looked just like this. And I left home at 17 to go to college, and I drove it across the country to Oklahoma. And I loved this little car. It was a stick shift, which I loved, even though it only had four gears. But it was also paid for, which I loved even more. It didn't have air conditioning, though. It had crank windows, if you remember those. And it sported a huge V3 engine. It only had three cylinders, which made it actually amazing on gas. I got 45 miles to the gallon around town and 53 on the highway. That even beats the hybrid that I have today, Wanda. And I wish I could get that mileage today, but because I could, I put myself through college with this little car delivering pizza. But one day, first gear started to grind when I tried to put it in to first gear. And I was a college kid, I was barely scraping by, so I didn't take it in to have it checked. I didn't think I could afford it. So I just skipped giving it any attention at all. I neglected the maintenance, and I would just keep ramming it into first gear and grinding it in. And it got worse, and it got worse, until one day it wouldn't go into first gear at all. So then I began to start out in second gear, which is horrible on the clutch, until one day the clutch started to slip, and eventually that went out. So at that point, I had no choice but to take it in. And after the mechanic took a look at it, it turns out that the transmission at this point would have to be replaced, which was way more than I could afford. In fact, it was more than the whole car was even worth at the time. But the mechanic dropped some simple and yet profound wisdom on me that day, and I have never, ever forgotten it. He had no idea that he would alter my perspective and therefore my future. And I use this in every area of my life to this day. And here's what he said. He said, if you had fixed it when the problem first started, you could have fixed it for very little. Turns out I could have afforded to fix it. But if I hadn't neglected to fix it, if I hadn't neglected it and not nurtured it when it hinted that there was an issue, it would have been easy to fix. I actually could have, but I didn't. I just stuck my head in the sand because I didn't believe that I had what it took to fix it at the time. And as it turned out, that would have been much less expensive, and I paid the price up front. I wouldn't have killed my car, even my livelihood, if this little bit of wisdom dropped on me at 18 from an Oklahoman mechanic, if I had listened. And this applies to every area of my life. I would propose that it applies to every area of your life as well. And in fact, I think it applies to all areas of all of our lives. Well, except for our relationships. As it turns out, our relationships, they're different. Take a look at this.
I'm sorry I'm late.
It's okay. Come on in.
The line for coffee was crazy. Here's your shirt. Thank you for letting me borrow it.
No problem. I'm sure you've got a million things going on with the wedding next week.
I do, which is why I can't stay long. Honestly, I'm starting to freak out a little bit. I mean, this is serious. It's for the rest of my life. What if I'm making a huge mistake? I don't know. This is normal, right?
Totally. I was a nervous wreck before my wedding.
Yeah, I was too. Everyone is.
Well, y'all have been married a while, right? Can I ask you some questions?
Absolutely.
Girl, you know we'll tell you how it is.
I just feel like we've been fighting so much lately, arguing over stupid, petty things.
Actually, as soon as you get married, the fighting completely stops.
What?
I'm serious.
Yeah, happened for me too. As soon as we said I do, it's like something magical happened.
Almost like a fairy tale, really.
Wow. But how?
I think it's because in that moment when he puts the ring on your finger, he just suddenly matures.
Yeah, it's like he grows up right there in that moment. There's no more immature jokes.
And he loses interest in those idiot friends.
He'll start selling those gaming systems. No more zombie killer, race car, shooter soldier games for hours on end.
Wow. Well, what about sex?
Oh, man. It's like he can read your mind. You're gonna feel like the most beautiful, desirable, and wanted woman in the world.
And he'll be so romantic and give the most amazing back rubs.
That are only a back rub.
Yes, and there's no reason to buy those pretty lacy things.
Really? No, he's gonna adore you in your yoga pants and baggy t-shirts. Hot stuff, I'm telling ya.
This is amazing, I can hardly believe it.
It's totally unbelievable.
And the best part is, you get a new best friend.
Oh, Zach's already my best friend.
I'm not talking about him, sweetie. I'm talking about his mom.
His mom? She's horrible. She's so condescending and critical.
Yeah, Jeff's mom was too, but once you get married, she will see and totally respect your new role as his wife.
Like, she'll fully understand the leave and cleave thing.
Now Beth is my best friend. We go shopping together all the time.
This is amazing. Thanks, ladies. I'm gonna go call Zach now. Y'all are the best.
Do you think we should tell her the truth?
No.
No one told me.
Well, this should be fun.
All right, so maybe I was pulling your leg about relationships. They really don't just magically fix themselves. The truth is that my mechanic had some pretty deep wisdom for all of our lives, right? And especially our relationships. Because there are things that if we don't pay attention to them, they will actually damage and potentially kill your marriage. And that's why today we're starting this new series that we've called Relationship Killers. And in this series, we're going to discover how to overcome some of the major culprits that can kill your marriage. And we're going to talk about some of the actions and the attitudes that we all have that can prevent us from building a strong marriage. Now listen, if you're not married yet, trust me, you're going to want to pay attention over the next 4 weeks as well. And the reason is because this series is going to help you prepare to be your best in your future marriage. And all the challenges that we discuss, they're not just for married couples either. These killers, they affect all kinds of relationships as well. All the way from friendships, work relationships, school relationships, parental relationships, all of them. So today, we are going to start this series off with this thought, okay? And all of us, we pretty much already know this part. And that is that if something is important to us, we don't neglect it, right? Maybe it's our home, maybe it's our vehicle, our yard, or what about like when we're students? It could be high school, it could be college, it could be working on your master's, it could even be like a job certification. But if you have a test and it's important to you, what do? You don't neglect preparing, right? You do what? You study. Yeah, if it's important, we don't just show up and hope, just expect to wing it and hope that everything goes well. If it's important to us, we prepare for it. We study. Or maybe at work, if you're having to give a presentation to an investor or a team at work, if it's important to you that your business succeed, or maybe if you want to keep your job or get that raise, what are you going to do? You're going to prepare. You're going to plan. You're going to think through all the questions that they might ask. You prepare slides. You prepare charts. You prepare graphs so that you succeed. If something is important to us, we don't neglect it. But what about our relationships, our marriages, our parenting? How often do we just show up and approach those areas of our lives with no intentionality, with no thought, no preparation, no training, no studying? We just expect the best to happen, right? Well, probably, if we're all honest with ourselves, we probably don't study as much as we would like to admit for the things that are important in our lives. Our relationships need attention. We need to realize that. Do we realize that if we don't give attention to our relationships, they could fail? Sometimes it's a knowledge issue. Like, for instance, if somebody's parents never taught them that you have to change the oil in the car every so many thousand miles, then they neglect it, it wouldn't be out of laziness. It wouldn't be out of not valuing their vehicle. It just may be out of ignorance. They didn't know. Because watch this, neglect isn't always intentional. Sometimes we neglect things and it's not intentional, it's ignorance. We didn't know any better. And as we go through this series, that's really important to know, because as we move through this series to strengthen our relationships, we're going to discover some areas that we may have neglected, some areas that we may not have given enough attention to. Not because that they were unimportant to us, but because we were unaware that they needed attention, or that they needed that much attention. And sometimes you do. You give your relationships attention, just maybe not enough attention. But one thing that we know for sure is that neglect leads to regret, right? We all know this in different areas. Neglect leads to regret. It did with me with my car. But if we're not maintaining our relationships like we should maintain our car or our bills or whatever, if we're not maintaining our most precious relationships, our marriages, we will experience regret. It's not if, it's when. And so, and also, this is the first marriage killer. This is the marriage killer that all the other marriage killers we're going to talk about, they all hang on and they leverage this one. Not paying attention to what it takes to nurture our relationships, it's going to lead to regret. All right, so if neglect leads to regret and we don't want to experience regret, the question is, why do we continue to neglect the things in our lives that we say are the most important, that are the most important? So, how do we fix this? Well, the Apostle Paul, that wrote most of the New Testament, he helps us by using an example that he would have seen in his day. Because one of the churches that he founded was in a city called Corinth. And to this church in Corinth, here's what he says. He says, guys, do you not know that in a race... Now, I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but why is Paul talking about sports in the Bible? All right. Well, he's writing to this church in Corinth, and in Corinth, every 2 years, they had a festival of athletics and music to honor one of their gods, Poseidon, the god of the sea. It was kind of like the Olympic Games. They did this every 2 years. So these people would have been very familiar with those games and with that festival, and Paul was a master at using examples pulled from what would be familiar to his audience. It's a lot like the way we use movies or quote well-known people to make biblical points. So when Paul wrote to these people using one of the competitions in these games to reveal a very important truth, they would have understood. Because one of the competitions was foot racing. And Paul uses the example of winning a race. And so it's in that context that Paul says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? So we understand that. So everybody runs, but only one gets the prize. Now, in our everybody gets a medal society, this may be really confusing to some of us, okay? But the truth is that in a real race, only one person can win. I mean, that's even in the Bible. But listen, in life, not everybody with good intentions gets a prize. And this is not fair, understand that, but it applies to our marriage and our relationships as well. And it may not be fair, but in the real world that we live in, only some get the prize. And in a race, and Paul's saying only one gets the prize, but it's in that context that he gives us a really simple instruction. And listen, when I read this next instruction, it's easy to gloss over. But I'm telling you, it's so profound. It's straightforward. It's simple. Watch this. He says, in that context, run in such a way as to win, as to get the prize. You see, we have to be intentional. In a race, you're not just out for a jog, right? There's a purpose to your run. And look, I know that some of you like to jog, you like to run, like you get what they call runner's high. I don't get runner's high, I get runner's low. Like, I would love to run, but I do not want to run. All right, that's not me. Like out in the heat or the cold with my legs on fire and my lungs exploding, that just not my idea of fun. It's just not my thing. In fact, I have a scriptural basis for that output, I mean, for that opinion as well, because Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked run when no one is chasing. And I don't want to be wicked, right? So I don't run unless somebody's chasing me, which is rare. Look, I'm sorry, that is not nice. Many of us could use a little bit more exercise, all right? I know I could as well, but I just can't get into running. I do other things, but I can't do running. But I digress. Paul is using this as an example of how to live every area of our lives, our spiritual lives, yeah, but also what he's saying applies to other areas of our lives as well, and for sure, it applies to our marriages and our relationships. In your relationship, run in such a way to get the prize. In other words, what he's saying is, be intentional to win in your relationships, in your marriage. Don't neglect the warning signs like I did with my car. Treat your relationship as though there's a prize at the end, because there is a prize at the end. It's growing old together in a full and fulfilling marriage where you're best friends, where you're lovers. It's where you're there for each other. It's where you love doing life together. It's more than buttoning those hard-to-reach buttons for each other, right? Or helping with the chores. I mean, that's part of it. But winning at marriage, it's living day by day together, living fulfilled because you enjoy the other person. And yes, some days are hard, but it's knowing that you can count on each other even when it gets hard. And it's fulfilling because you can trust each other. That even though there are times when we cannot stand each other, we know we're going to come through it because it's till death do us part. And it's fighting against the idea in the world that we live in that even though we say that till death do us part, it seems as though there may be some things, some other things that can part us other than death. Now, let me say this. Most of us fall into one of these three categories, okay? One, there is a marriage and it's in your past. Two, there is a marriage and it's in your future. And three, you are currently married. And for that first crowd, let me say this. I want you to know you are not going to find any condemnation, no judgment in this church for your past. If you've been through a divorce, I want to encourage you. Yes, look back. Look it in the face. Learn from it. Even if you have to get some therapy or some help or something, but do whatever you need to do to figure out what part of that do you have to take responsibility for, and learn from it and move on. Okay? Now, for those of you that have a marriage in your future, if I were you, I would stop looking for the right someone, and I would start working to be the right someone. Prepare for the race, all right? I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, how to do that. For some of us who are currently married, I want to admonish you, in the words of Paul, run in such a way to win your prize, to win at your marriage, to win at your relationship. Not just tolerate it, not neglecting it, not ignoring it. Run the race of your marriage in such a way to get the prize. Which brings us to the question, how? It's all great, Micah. You know, win in your relationship. That's all great. But this is what we all know, is that that is easier said than done. Right? No, Micah, I don't want to neglect my marriage. I want to make sure that it's healthy. But how? How do I do that? I mean, I already work all day to pay the bills. I work overtime to pay the bills. Or I take care of the kids. I run them here and there. I mean, isn't that stuff enough to show that I care enough about our marriage? Can't they see all that I do? Those are all great questions. And the reason that I believe that is because I've asked those same questions myself. And here's the great thing about Paul, though. He doesn't just leave us here. He doesn't just say, hey, run to win, okay? And then leave us there. As he usually does, he takes it to a whole next level, puts handles on it, and tells us how. And let me tell you, what he says next, it's not easy. Certainly not popular. It's not going to give you the warm and fuzzies when you first hear it. But here's what I can tell you, is that it is true, it works, and it universally applies to our lives, our spiritual lives, first of all, but it also applies to our relationships and our marriages, okay? So, after he says, run in such a way to get the prize, he tells us how. And it's so simple. Watch this. Everybody who competes in the games to win, of course, goes into strict training. All right, Micah, I liked you until you said that. Strict training does not sound like any fun. That does not sound like life to my relationship, strict training. All right? Well, let me ask this question. Do you want to win? Because everybody competes to win. Paul says goes into strict training. They train. They prepare. They don't neglect the outcome. They don't leave it to chance. No, they know what we all know about racing, and that is that strict training is the pathway to winning. If we value something, we got to think a few moves ahead. We have to prepare. We have to nurture that win. We have to see it. We have to work for it. And we already know this because we do this in other areas of our lives, right? In school, if we want to get into that college, what did we do? We went into strict training. We were intentional. If we wanted to make the team, we prepare. We worked hard. If we wanted a promotion, what did we do? We showed up early. We left late. We initiate. The pathway to winning anything in life is that we nurture the dream until it comes true. And then when it comes true, we nurture it to keep it so that we can stay fulfilled in that area. And there's an old saying that says, the more you sweat in preparation, the less you bleed in battle. And we've heard this, and it's true of our relationships as well. But why is it that we understand this in so many areas of our lives, but when it comes to our marriages, we stick our head in the sand, and we just hope that the grinding gears will just go away? Or we wait until it won't even go into gear anymore, and then we try to save it. Then we're willing to get counseling or therapy. And Paul is saying, don't wait until you're bleeding in battle. Don't neglect the precious thing in front of you. Do the work before it bleeds. But what we do is we tend to put off the important to focus on the urgent. So many things in our lives seem urgent right now, but there are truly few things that are this important, ultimately important, and our marriage is at the top of that list. So here's what I want you to go home with today. If you don't hear anything else, here's what I hope that you get. We've already stated that neglect leads to regret, okay? We know that. We know this. But Paul goes on and he says, train to win. Nurture the win. Because if neglect leads to regret, then nurturing leads to fulfillment. Regret or neglect leads to regret. And we all felt the pain of that somewhere in our lives, like I did with my car. But nurturing something important to us leads to fulfillment with that same thing that's important to us. And we do that through something we call preventative maintenance. And if we do that, we can have the prize of having a marriage of life and of love. And here's the thing is, though, if you don't maintain your car, if you don't change the oil until it breaks down, that car is not going to give you joy and fulfillment. It's not going to lead to fulfillment. It's going to lead to regret, frustration. It's going to be a constant pain because it's never going to operate and work the way it was supposed to, the way you expected it to, because we neglected it. We didn't nurture it. And our marriages are the same way. If we ignore it until it breaks down, and then try to fix it, a lot of times it's too late. Which brings me to this question, which we all need to ask ourselves, myself included. What am I doing to nurture my marriage? What am I doing? Now, for those of you that are not married yet, here's the question that you're asking is, what am I doing to nurture my future marriage? Well, Micah, I'm just hoping and praying for the right one. I mean, I'm praying, that's what I'm supposed to do. It's church, right? Well, prayer is good, but you also need to learn to become the right one. Nurture your marriage in the future. And for those of us that are already married, what are we doing to nurture our marriages? And I'm talking about practical things, very practical. Remember from our last series, we found out this, that what repeats in your life will actually create in your life. So if you want a strong marriage, the question is, as Paul puts it, are you training to win? Are you repeating in your life things that give life to your marriage? Let me give you a few ideas, okay? find a good marriage podcast or some good marriage podcasts. All right? They're all over Spotify. Listen to them on a regular basis. Or find also some good marriage books. Read them or listen to them. Or a great option is that we also have a marriage meetup this semester. It just started, and so you can still sign up for that. Just go to our website, scan the QR code on the back of the chair. Well, but Micah, if I go, people will know that we're having marriage problems. Can I tell you a secret? Most couples that go to marriage classes or meetups, they're going because they are nurturing their marriage, not because the gears are grinding. Unfortunately, if we're struggling in our marriages, it's usually because we're not intentionally doing these things. So nobody will know that your marriage is struggling. You just sneak in, right? The thing is that whenever you're hearing the gears grinding, don't neglect it just hoping it's going to go away. Meanwhile, it just gets worse and worse, and we experience regret because of the neglect. This is what I'm trying to help us understand. Those of us that are in marriage classes and meetups, even when no gears seem to be grinded, those are usually the people that have the most fulfilling and joyful marriages. Yeah, but Micah, I don't like to read. And I don't have time for all that stuff. Just like I didn't think I had the money to fix my car. I love you enough to tell you that this marriage killer of neglect, it's the one that all the other marriage killers, they all hang on this one. Because if you're struggling in your marriage, chances are it's because you're not nurturing your marriage already. And so now you get into damage control. And once you're at that point, a lot don't make it. Let me tell you a secret. As a pastor, I see this. I've been a pastor for decades, and I've seen this over and over and over. The gears are grinding. And one side says, we need to go see somebody about this. We need maybe some therapy or some counseling or some coaching, or let's go to the marriage meetup. The other side says, I don't have time. I don't want people to know my business. I don't believe in that stuff. And then what happens is it gets worse and it gets worse, and now it won't even go into gear. And the other person says, all right, I'm out. And then the one that wasn't willing to do it goes, well, wait a minute. Maybe we should go see a marriage counselor. And by that time, the first spouse is out. It's like, that's been years and years and years and years and years, and I'm done. I've seen that. I cannot tell you the number of times I've seen that. Nurture your relationships. Do what if the gears are already grinding, do whatever it takes to save the most important relationship that you have. If you got to swallow your pride, swallow your pride. If you got to cancel, I'm sorry, Johnny, we can't go to baseball practice because the marriage meetup, and you're not going to care about baseball practice anymore if mom and dad split up. You probably wouldn't say that to them, but that's what you're thinking. And you should be thinking that. If the gears are grinding, do whatever it takes to nurture your marriage. Train to win, as Paul put it. Train to win. Take the time to nurture your marriage in a meetup or reading books, listening to podcasts. There's all kinds of different options. These are just a few. What if we made sure to be intentional about our marriages and not let other things come in so that neglect kills us? What if we intentionally decided to take care of our relationships before the gears started to grind? Listen, this week, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to do this. Together, intentionally choose one specific act of nurturing for your marriage this week. Decide that you're going to prioritize your marriage and proactively nurture it on a regular basis. Make it a habit, not just a thing that Micah said, so we're going to do it this week or this semester. No, maybe you turn off the TV or stop scrolling and pick up a book, listen to a podcast. Maybe it's a regularly scheduled date night. Whatever it is, commit to it. Make any necessary adjustments to your schedule or to your lifestyle even to make sure that your relationship and your marriage gets the priority, gets the attention, and the nurturing that it needs. And it may be hard, it may be uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, everything else in your life will try to rob you of the time and attention that this will take. And that should be a sign to you that how important this is. Because the enemy, he doesn't attack an area that's not important. You're going to face opposition if you set your mind to doing this week. But listen, here's the thing. Don't get distracted. Because distraction is how we end up in a state of neglect to begin with. Be intentional with your time, your energy, your words. I'm telling you, you can do this. And your life, your marriage, current or future, will be strengthened because of it. That stress and fear of vulnerability start to melt away. The insecurities will start to leave as you begin to see God's hand at work in your relationship if you do this. The discussions you've been avoiding, they'll start to get easier to have. Your communication will improve. And all that leads to even more connection and fulfillment and joy in your relationship because it's nurturing. And when we focus on nurturing our relationships in our lives, that makes it easier to build a community, a church of nurturing relationships. A community that, look, our relationships will never be perfect, but we want our relationships to be strong enough that when other people come in from the outside and they are struggling, their gears are grinding, that we have the attention and we have the ability to reach out and help. Hey, come to me to my meetup. Hey, let me suggest a book to you. Let me suggest this podcast to you, that you are making a difference in the lives of other people. That's a beautiful image of a church that's really reaching out. Now, if I've said anything that has upset you, maybe even angered you. I pushed pretty hard, I know. Maybe I challenged you just a little bit too much. If that's the case, first of all, please forgive me. It was not my intention to make you angry. But if I did, it's okay. Because next week, we were going to talk about the second relationship killer, anger. All right? Will you guys stand with